Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. The air. It's Degrassi night tonight, and I don't have any other rhymes because I'm not Tim, and I'm lazy. So, hi everybody. It's the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, and I am going to be taking you through Billy Breaks the Chain, which is the latest episode of Kids of Degrassi Street that we're going to be reviewing together this evening. Very excited to be coming at your way with this one. Lots of hockey. So, if you're a hockey fan, we're going to have hockey talk, what we're known for on this podcast. But have we got all our hockey fans out there? Let's go to who I would guess is probably the person who played the most organized sports by far of all the cast members on tonight's episode out in Oakville, Tim.
Well, yeah, maybe. I did play hockey. Right now I'm just lacing up my skates to get back on the ice. Yeah, that's kind of it I got tonight. I don't got much. It's kind of embarrassing myself right now. All right, let's head let's head out to where you would play lots of hockey because it can be cold as hell. Let's head out to Saskatchewan.
Woo! It's Arlo from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Yeah, lots of hockey around here because it's very cold. But it was beautiful today. It's almost spring, kinda. So ain't nothing gonna get me down.
Wow.
Can I just say you guys are killing it on the intro?
Great, love it. Where do we not go yet? To Newfoundland?
That's right, Newfoundland. Ted, bringing the heat, bringing the sports. Oh, and then I just realized I have very limited sports knowledge, so I can't even say, go team, get on the field 100%, 110%, leave it all on the field, believe. I don't know. Now I'm out of gas. I guess that's what you use for sports, gas, gasoline. Hello, I'm Ted. What's up? Yeah. Let's, now I'm not bringing the heat either.
Now you're nailing it.
Now yeah. I'm nailing it. Good job, Petty.
Well, I'm happy to go right into this episode. We don't need to do our usual amazing witty banter for the first 8 to 10 minutes of the episode. We can just talk straight about Degrassi if you like, everybody, because we are...
I will say I've had Fleetwood Mac's The Chain in my head all week because of this episode.
Jam. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because Billy will never break the chain. Yeah.
I noticed that this was actually one of the lower rated ones on IMDb. And I want to thoroughly disagree with IMDb because it was awesome.
This is big time awesome episode in my opinion as well.
Oh my God. This just screamed my childhood.
I will ask, I did ask Tim the organized sports question. I played organized soccer, and I played one season of organized roller hockey where one of the players on our team, it was me and my like 15 and 16-year-old friends, and then my friend's father recruited people who drove trucks in his company, and one of the guys who drove the truck was like, my brother plays hockey, but he's off for the summer, and so can he play too? And his brother was Lonnie Bahanas, who played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Nice.
And literally, like, totally like in a movie where you'd bring in a ringer, like, was scoring with slap shots from center ice. Yeah, ridiculous. So, yeah, that was my organized sports, and I was not good, but it was fun, and it made me the man who I am. Arlo, did you do any organized sports?
I hate sports.
Great.
So, no, especially team sports. I am not... in any way athletic in those ways. I think I mentioned it before, but I did go to school with Jennifer Bottrell, who is a huge women's hockey presence in Canada. And of course, her older brother, Jason Bottrell, also played for the NHL. So.
His names.
Yeah, Ted.
But that's my closest brush with... with sports stardom.
Alan, who is this guy, Johnny Bahamas? What was his name again? He has a wicked name.
Johnny Bahamas. That'd be the greatest name.
Pastor from New York.
He was Lonnie Bahanas, who played not a very long career with the Leafs. He was the leading scorer in the Western Hockey League, which is, for junior hockey, that's a pretty big deal. But did play a little bit with the Leafs and then fizzled out and played overseas. And word through the grapevine was... he had a little issue with the, but who didn't, right? It's hockey. So anyways.
With that kind of name, though, you're anointed from birth to play hockey.
Yes.
I think. That's such a hockey name.
Yeah. All right. So with that out of the way as our sports intro, everybody, let's talk about Billy breaking the old chain. And we'll get into the other big topic of this episode, which would be chain letters, but we'll get to it when it happens, and we will explain it to you, we promise. So this episode aired on November 9th, 1984. It's episode 10 of the Kids of Degrassi Street, written by Michelle Dionne, which I was like, did they do that on purpose? Like, is that Marcel's sister?
I wonder.
Yeah, Marcelle Dionne, who still is a top 10 leading scorer in NHL history, but I've said this on the podcast before, who I saw sitting at the front of a Zellers wanting to sign autographs with nobody at the table. So,
oh no.
Yeah. This was directed by Linda Shiler and Kit Hood. So we have one Billy. He is going for a run through the park, and he's wearing a top with a logo, a W on it, that looks a little bit like a Winnipeg Blue Bombers logo, but it is not. But I was still briefly excited to see him running.
Yeah, you're right. It does kind of look like that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Of note, Billy is played, of course, by Jason Talbot, who went on to play a character in the Degrassi Junior High franchise. Was it Jason?
Jason Cox, the sports rep.
Jason
he was also,
Cox.
Yeah, sports rep. Yes. He was also the big sports guy.
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, so I clearly this kid was probably hired for his athletic prowess, you know?
Yes, and he will absolutely not attempted murder somebody or murder somebody. I forget which one he did in real life.
Something like two separate charges or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was eventually acquitted, though, so...
Mm-hmm.
So was does follow him around.
Him and OJ, innocent.
He was acquitted.
Yep. Perfect.
And I will say also, I feel like his acting skills in Degrassi Junior High were really noticeably bad. yes. But when he's a smaller child, I don't feel like you notice it as much.
Yeah, I would agree. He's much better actor here than he was in Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah.
I think some of it is because it was like... he's a child in this one, so you just accept it. Whereas then it's like he didn't mature. He just kept acting like a child. Like, remember that scene where he runs after he recruits, or he finds out that Snake's not going to swim against him, so then he runs down the hallway and, like, clicks his heels in the hair?
Yeah. Like a little leprechaun.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
Tyson Talbot, not Jason Talbot. My bad.
So Lisa, Casey, and Pete are all flying a flag that would not make conservatives very happy today. Why do we have to have gay and everything these days? Did you see that video of the dude who would not go up the flight of steps? He climbed the arm bar, like, or what, you know, the so that he wouldn't have to place his the railing, so he wouldn't have to place his feet on the rainbow steps. Yeah.
You know what's funny? Like, every time I see a video like that now, I just think it's staged.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure a lot of them are.
So my husband and I, we have really, you know, close connections to the LGBTQ2+ community in Regina or whatnot. Like, my husband used to volunteer at the gay bar, bartending and stuff like that. And so we have, like, a lot of friends in that community or whatever. One of the sort of running jokes in that community is, like, when something's, like, gay, you just say gay out loud. And so as soon as the scene came on, like, my husband immediately was like, gay.
So Casey asks Lisa what Noel, who is her big brother, said about the club, and Lisa says they need to ask Ida about the club. So it looks like they're wanting to get their hands on the clubhouse anymore, which Pete says the older kids aren't using it. So this is, I think we've talked about the older kids starting to age out. This is the first episode where we really acknowledge that these original OG, like, Degrassi kids are getting older. So,
well, and it's,
yeah, and it's
clear,
almost like they started,
you know,
having these B plots in the episodes now a little bit. Like, this is a separate plot. Like, up till now, maybe the last episode with the play and dealing with Chuck and his dad, it felt like it was one sort of plot throughout the entire show. And now we're getting these sort of A and B plots,
sort of,
I feel,
stacked,
like,
plots. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is pretty obvious that the other kids are getting quite a bit older. Like, you know, both Ida and Noel are clearly, you know, in at least preteens now.
Yeah.
You couldn't
describe them as being children anymore. They're solidly in the entering teendom category.
So we see Billy running by, and they talk about how he's probably overdoing his spring training. Casey is timing him and gives him a time of 17 minutes and 23 seconds. And they then ask if he wants
to... Like, it just speaks to, like, my lack of athleticism. Like, she's just like, 17 minutes. I'm like, he's been running continuously for 17 minutes.
Is he in the Olympics?
So, like, this is interesting because as someone who did play organized sports, like, my entire life, like, I played hockey from, like, 5 years old till I was 20 something. I played baseball sort of the same amount of time, soccer when I was younger. You didn't really off season train. So this is kind of odd. So we were not getting ready for hockey in the off season. We were playing baseball in the off season. So to have him actually running, getting ready for tryouts was kind of strange to me. Maybe he's just so focused on hockey being his thing. It just didn't really happen when I was a kid.
Well, there's a few things that are interesting about this. number one, you're right. In 1984, this was not really a thing. Like, summer hockey... And, you know, like, but it is now. Like, it's fucking hockey all the time, right? Like, it's never ending hockey. So it is now, but back at this time, it really wasn't, unless you had a parent really pushing the fuck out of you. And so the other interesting thing here is Billy's father, mother, uncle, anybody, no family member, no parent anywhere in sight. This is 100% this child. Like,
but, like, yeah. Like, the way that it works with peewee hockey, right? Like, you don't have to make a team, do you? Like, your parents just pay, and then you're on the, like, then you play, right?
Depends on how competitive you get.
Yeah.
I assume that Billy is a little bit, since he has to, he has to go to a tryout.
You were about to say audition. You almost said audition.
I almost said audition. That's true. But I caught myself, and I said tryout.
And scene.
But, like, the fact that he has to do this long, drawn-out tryout thing indicates to me that maybe he's at a higher level than most kids.
Yes, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much more competitive. And, again, this totally tracks for 2024.
Oh, they wouldn't even stop. These teams, so the teams now, will try out in April for the September start season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. Is what we're saying. It's totally not about fun anymore. It's bullshit. But anyways,
let's steal their childhoods.
Yeah, and then the parents pay fees, and then Hockey Canada save some of those fees to pay off sex offenders.
Oh my God.
Or sorry, the victims of sex offenders. Sorry, everybody. They're not paying off the sex offenders. They're not that bad. They're paying the victims of sex offenders to shut up. Know. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
They were doing such a good job of being quiet.
Yeah.
They're like, here, the sex offenders were. So like, here's some more money.
Yeah. So the kids want to check out a clubhouse, but he can't because he's getting ready for practice. And then he likes Pete's kite, and Pete says he got it for his birthday. And then Billy, for some... Well, I mean, the reason is we're going to get into fucking, like, superstition in this episode. So in reaction to Pete's kite, Billy says, "My grandfather told me once that when you fly a kite... evil spirits who are out to get you are supposed to fly away in the wind." I'm like, no child in the history of the universe said that sentence.
I was like, never what? Heard that.
Yeah. That's fucking weird.
No, like, one, this is not a superstition. This is not a real... I mean, I don't know.
Let me tell you something.
Flying a kite, so I'm going to tell my son that. By the way, Owen, you know when you're flying that kite, the bad spirits are coming after you.
Billy, stop flying that kite and come sit on your grandfather's lap. I have a story to tell you. So then we get the show title. And again, similar to last episode, they put in a little animation here. The word breaks actually breaks in two. So,
ooh.
Which I'm assuming they were all like so fucking impressed with themselves when they had that happen.
Yeah. That computer graphic, like the computer was like when the disk drive used to go crazy.
It took 3 hours.
Yep. So now we go to hockey practice, and that now I'm taken back. And again, I never played organized hockey, but I've been a big hockey fan for so long. The first kid who takes a shot on Billy is in Cooperalls.
Yes, and
yeah.
Yeah, fucking Cooperalls. So there was a time in hockey when kids wore pants on the ice instead of what we call hockey pants, which are really like shorts. And I never knew a kid that had them, but I remember the Vancouver Canucks wore them as an NHL team.
Oh, the fucking Philadelphia Flyers wore them. That, the
why? Yeah. Like, this was never going to fly.
Yeah. Ted, do you even know what we're talking about?
I do. Okay, yes. I sometimes play up that I'm not a sportsman. But, I do know the pants, and they were styling.
Oh.
And we had some people had them, because I did play a bit of hockey when I was a kid, and a couple of kids had them, and I was like, no, they still look stupid.
And he was using a Titan stick.
Yep.
And also a Cooper blocker, classic tan leather with the holes in it. I'm like, yeah, that does take me back. Like, I wanted one of those so bad.
So
cool.
We hadn't established until now, Billy is actually playing goaltender, and so his parents have to be thrilled that he has chosen the most expensive position in, like, the most expensive organized sport you can think of.
Yeah.
Pete and Lisa are there watching. There are no adults, no parents. The kids, though, have come into the arena to watch this. And like, my best friend growing up played organized hockey, and sometimes I would go see his games. Never would I ever see a practice, let alone a fucking tryout.
Yeah, no way.
But those two kids are there.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't play hockey or ringette, but I had some friends who were in ringette, and I've been to one of their practices, one or two of their practices. I've been to their games, and like I don't know about you guys, but like I can smell this rink.
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah. You can smell the fryers making the
it's
french,
like,
fries.
You know, like the rubberized floor
that
they have for when you're walking with your skates and stuff like that. Like, I can feel how it's cold, but not cold on your foot. Like, this is just a slice of life.
And, like, this is me romanticizing things in my child brain. I'm sure it wasn't real, but, like, the greatest pizza pops that I ever ate were at the hockey rink. like it feels to me they didn't just stick them in the microwave, like they actually baked them. Like, that's how my memory has it. I'm sure they did it. I'm sure it's just as shitty as like what you'd get now from the microwave, but yeah.
I remember always getting hot dogs, but they just put those hot dogs in the microwave with the bun, like, with it at the same time.
I think I've mentioned this before, but my high school cafeteria deep fried pizza pops. And if you've never had a deep fried pizza pop, you need to get on that because it's amazing. And also, they don't have pizza pops in America. And I don't know if we've talked about this.
What?
They don't have pizza pops in America.
Because they have Hot Pockets?
They have Hot Pockets. Ugh. And when my husband tried a pizza pop for the first time, he completely fell in love with them and said, this is what a Hot Pocket wants to be.
Give me my citizenship
now. So if you
do
not live in Canada and don't have access to pizza pops, you are missing out.
Yes.
And if you've never had a deep fried one, get on it.
Go to Arlo's high school that she used to go to and sit in the cafeteria and get
I mean, you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm.
Can you define which one's which? Because even though I do actually at this moment have both pizza pops and pizza pockets in my freezer because I sometimes want to eat like a child. Which is the one that looks like a silicone breast implant?
That is the pizza pocket.
Uh-huh. That's the pizza pocket. Okay,
it's a little bun, and then the pizza pops are like the half moon calzone shape.
Yeah,
and in my opinion, the pizza pops are superior.
Oh, pizza pockets
in flavor and
belong
texture.
In the fucking pizza garbage. Like, disgusting.
Oh, heavy darts. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to go on TikTok. Go on. Podcaster takes Shots down pizza fired. Pockets. Brutal. Brutally slays. Pizza pockets.
So the opposing goaltender to Squeeze. Billy in this tryout is a guy who is called Squeeze. No one, including the coach, will use his real name throughout this episode. He is credited as Squeeze. I don't fucking get it. Like, Squeeze is not a name. Like, it's got to be from something else, because Squeeze is not a name for a goaltender. Like, anyways, Squeeze.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
Squeeze those thighs together.
But I was immediately distracted by Squeeze's kick-ass Canada Cup jersey circa 1984, and then later on, 1987. That's
amazing. As a jersey guy, you must have been like getting a slight chub watching this.
Oh, it's a love amazing jersey. So good. Now Pete says Squeeze is really tough competition because he has statistics. And I don't know, like, I mean, I know what statistics are, but I don't know how the having of statistics puts you in a, you know, an advantageous position for the goaltender position.
It's
but
got
that's
that good save percentage.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he also subscribes to what we call the stand-up goaltending technique.
Oh, yeah.
Where he didn't like to get to the ground and just kick things out of the way.
They say that Billy is smaller, but he is tough to beat. He is more athletic, whereas Squeeze is much larger, and so he covers more of the net. And you know what? In real life, both of those things work. So
yep, very true.
Yeah. Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets. He is a large, large, large man, which definitely helps. So the coach calls everybody in and we see a nice little hodgepodge of hockey jerseys. I spotted a Guy Lafleur Habs jersey. It does not have the name on it, but it had the 10 and a 27 Toronto Maple Leafs. Anybody who was number 27 for the Maple Leafs? Huh? No.
Was it Daryl Sittler?
It was Daryl Sittler. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I also saw a defunct Colorado Rockies jersey.
Uh-huh. Fantastic.
That one's a big pull right there.
There is an Oilers jersey. We'll see later. There's a number 99. Coach's advice at this point is don't play with your heads down. And Billy, don't give up so many rebounds. And that's it. Then I noted.
Quality coaching.
Yeah. Then I noted.
Put some showers, boys.
And I'm going to pretty much spoil like the whole like big tense thing of this episode right here by saying, wait, they're only going to have one goalie? Because hockey teams have two.
I don't know a lot about hockey, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you need more than one goalie on your team.
Yeah, so they have two goalies trying out, and the whole tension is which one's going to become the goalie, and it's like, they're going to have two. So, anyways.
And at that age, they probably rotate anyway. So those two guys should just be super okay. Just high-fiving each other, not giving a fuck for the entire tryout.
Yes, but we'll see that they are far from okay as we go through the episode. So later we see Coach walking into the arena again. He's got sweaters with him, and Billy asks if they're the team sweaters, and the coach says, yes, and with a bit of luck, Billy, you may end up with one. A bit of luck.
That is a hell of a coaching moment right there.
Uh-huh. But then Squeeze sees Billy and says, don't count on it, like a little asshole. So,
ugh.
Yep.
I'd be home watching Gummy Bears. Remember
that
cartoon?
Was a great cartoon when I was a kid.
They drank gummy juice, and like as something like this was happening, I was home watching the Saturday morning cartoons, and like, oh, I wish I could taste that juice.
My brother and I, when we were kids, we bought gummy bears and thought, oh, we could melt these things in the microwave to make gummy bear juice. They don't melt. They just congeal into a burnt black glob.
Jeez. Just murdering gummy bears. That's the episode that they didn't air. The gummy bears got toasted
blown up
to death. You're killing me.
So throwback to maybe a recent Super Hits podcast moment, but did you know that the guy who sang the Gummy Bears theme song is the guy from Toto?
Hey!
Oh, no, but that's an incredible theme song.
I could see it.
I still know that one by heart.
Then we get a scene with the mailman, and he is delivering a letter to Billy's place. And I know some people who still work for the post, Canada Post, the Postal Service. And I imagine that, like, on nice days, they still have to wear, like, an outfit, but they get to wear, like, shorts and something reasonable, as opposed to this, you know, he looks like a fucking, like, doorman.
Yeah.
It's like you have to, it's physical labor. Like, what a shitty fucking job to have to wear that crap.
Do you guys still actually get your mail delivered to your front door?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Holy. I got to pick it up at the post office.
Really?
Oh, well, we have the little boxes that everyone goes to in the street.
I insist that the mail person hands them to me, and then I say, thanks, Jeeves, and away they go.
No, so the newer areas in Regina have like the post boxes that are like service like the several houses or whatever the neighborhood that they're in. But yeah, my area is still door to door.
We definitely have the group boxes in Oakville.
Yeah. So the letter gets delivered to Billy's place, and we see Billy's little brother, who I believe is unnamed. Arlo, I don't know if you saw his name in the credits. I did not.
But no, it's Scooter Benjamin. From Degrassi Junior High, right?
Adorable little tiny Christopher Charlesworth,
yeah.
Who I love. But yeah, in this, his name is Benjamin.
So he says, you know, Billy, this letter's for you. We see Billy in his room. He's lifting dumbbells. And I don't think they make those kind of dumbbells anymore. The sweet 80s dumbbells. And Billy has a sweet, sweet poster on his wall of one Billy Smith, who was an amazing goaltender for the New York Islanders, very, very talented goaltender, and would also beat the fuck out of people. So, because hockey in the 70s. So then what I thought was adorable is when Billy takes the letter and Benjamin picks up the dumbbell and starts pumping iron because he's copying his brother.
He is so small, yeah. And I love him.
Yes, and he would not... It would be a while until he grew up to be the super tall adult specimen that he was in Degrassi junior high and high. Yeah. Forever a child. So Billy is perplexed by this letter. And so his brother says, is it bad news? And Billy says, it's just a bad joke. And we zoom in and we see that it is a chain letter. And it's funny because even though it's a physical chain letter, and I've actually been the recipient of chain letters, like physical ones,
yeah?
My first thought was back to the original days of the internet because of the way that it was worded. Because when the internet was kind of first a big thing, that was one of the big things that circulated in email was chain letters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
All the time. Who am I going to pass this to? Arlo. Tell the listeners how chain letters and work and what the hell they are.
Why would I know that? Why would you send it to me? Uh-huh. Okay, so the first chain letter it dates back to sort of the late 1800s, and it was sort of one of the oldest ones, was a women's auxiliary group, and someone had the idea to write a letter, write some letters, ask the person to send some money to the women's auxiliary, and then to write the same letter to X amount of their friends. And it was for charity, basically. And it was like a raging success. They got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of money back. And so other charity groups started doing that type of thing. There was also like religious ones, which are like, you know, spread the Lord's word to five of your friends or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, eventually the criminals decided that they could use this for personal gain. I mean, I guess not criminals, it's not illegal, but the more, you know, currency-minded determined that they could use this for personal gain, and basically started these chain letters that were sort of pyramid schemes, you know, where you would, you know, send, you know, a dime back and then send it to five more friends or whatever, and they'd all send dimes, and the idea was as it branched out, you would get dimes back in the mail. It eventually came to like a fever pitch in the 1930s because people were like desperate for money, and so like any idea that you could be receiving all this money back and that kind of thing, and there was actually like brokers for chain letters in some cities and stuff like that. And it did implode very quickly in terms of that industry, and very few people made out with any, you know, worthwhile money. Kind of went from there. They passed laws after that in the 1930s about what you can and can't do in chain letters, and so became more just these, like, you'll be cursed and that kind of garbage, or you know, this chain letter's been going for, you know, we want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest chain letter, so don't break the chain, you know, that kind of thing. And then evolved into email in the 90s, and nowadays we mainly see it on social media, right? Which is, oh, I, you know, if my friends could just share this, then, you know, the suicidal person will know that someone cares and that kind of crap, right?
First comment, kill yourself.
Yes.
Had a little bit of a resurgence as well during the pandemic. A little bit more sort of active chains, like, oh, you know, the first five people who reply to this message, you know, I will personally send you a craft that I've been working on, and, you know, feel free to post this to your own, kind of thing. So there's sort of these goodwill chains that sort of happened during the pandemic as well. And that's where we are today. But yeah.
What a fucking weird thing. And no idea who sent him this chain letter, right? It's just random letter that comes in the mail, and then they're like, send it off to five people or else you'll die and your parents will die and you'll burn in hell. So it's great. So that's what he's contemplating. Meanwhile, Lisa, Casey, and Pete go over to the clubhouse. Now, when the clubhouse was being actively used by Ida and Irene and Noel and, you know, Chuck, like the old gang, it was, you know, I didn't think about it as I'm about to describe to you, but this clearly not being used, sort of abandoned, decrepit clubhouse, when they shot the inside of it, I was like, that's the place. That's where I found wood porn, in a place exactly like that.
Yes.
That's the kind of the thing I fucking found it in. So
100%.
Yeah. So they open the door to the clubhouse and comment that it's not in good shape, but Pete says they can tidy it up. And Lisa still thinks they need to ask Ida about it. They're all worried that Ida's going to get mad because they're trespassing. Though I don't know whose actual property, like, this sits on. Like, is it just on, like, public land? Like, I don't even know where this clubhouse is located. But
we've said it before, and we'll probably say it again. It's now worth, like, $2 million.
Yes.
Yes, it is. So, you know whose land it's not on? That crazy old bat they came out with the rolling
Oh, no way she'd have those kids there. None. So the door to the clubhouse opens and the kids are startled, but it's Billy, and he's totally pissed at them and is like, who's the wise guy? And they don't know what he's talking about, and he says he got a chain letter. So Casey reads the chain letter. It says he needs to write 5 letters or else he's doomed. And then they all talk about how these letters send bad luck to people, and if Billy doesn't send out letters, he'll be cursed. And then Pete's like, could be a hoax. And Billy uses a word that we hear a lot in this episode, phony. And Casey says, well, I guess if you want to find out the hard way. So it's great. It's great.
Casey seems to be a bit of the sucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Casey's gullible as fuck. So
I mean, they're tiny children.
Dumb children.
No, she's gullible as fuck. No, like you said.
One born every day, every minute.
Yep. Billy says
got
the club
a sweet Superman shirt on there.
Yes. Billy thinks the clubhouse is neat, and Pete and Casey and Lisa are gonna ask Ida about it. And then Billy says he needs to go because Coach is timing them. But as he goes to leave, one of the signs hanging up in the clubhouse almost falls on him. So it's the start of all the curses for good old Billy. So now we are in the locker room at the ice rink. Kids are getting dressed for hockey. Coach just yells at them to hustle and hurry up.
Well, as one would. Come on.
Yeah. Chuck is helping Billy get his pads on. Squeeze is sorting out the hockey sticks, and Chuck asks what he's up to, and Squeeze says crossed sticks are bad luck. It's actually true, like, not that it's bad luck, but that hockey players have, and lots of people in sports, right, have superstitions, so.
Yeah, like anytime, especially like when I played baseball, anytime we weren't hitting because our bats would be all nicely lined up against the fence, anytime we weren't hitting, someone would come and knock the bats down to try and wake the bats up.
Great. Yep. Billy breaks one of his straps while he's getting pads on, and Squeeze is like, tough luck, dipshit. And he,
well, and here's the thing, if that strap's ripped, wow, those fucking pads aren't going on.
Yep. So,
properly. Like, there's no chance.
Yeah. So Billy's in some shit.
Well, worldly old Chuck has a few tricks up his sleeve to make sure that it's,
Yeah, he does. You're right.
Gonna get on.
You know,
he knows how to sew. We sure know he had to learn how to sew to get his pants back.
Yeah. You know, who's not sewing that thing is his mom.
Team manager now of note. It says manager on the back of his jacket.
Yes.
Well, he's a year older, I think. Right. So he must be helping this team.
He's a year or two or three older. Not sure, super fair, sure. Right.
Also suspended for life for fighting.
He's probably kicked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, probably public service.
Yeah. Lisa and Casey arrive at Ida's place, and Ida and Irene are hanging out doing some. What are they doing, Arlo? Are they doing tarot? Like, there's a lot of cards.
It's tarot.
This is gross.
It's tarot cards.
Can you? I don't know if we're here yet, but can you, when they start really talking about it, like, is that legit or is that mumbo jumbo?
No. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, it depends what your definition of mumbo jumbo is, but biorhythms are a real thing, like, that people talk about or pay attention to depending on their beliefs.
Okay. Understand too, when you say biorhythms, I'm just holding on to the bumper right now. Like, you don't even need to elaborate. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh. Ida says to them, what do you kids want? So again, we're now trying to establish that these older kids are older.
And so much more mature.
Yeah. They ask if they can take over the clubhouse. Ida tells Irene that she knew today would be full of demands from the underworld. Like, what a bitch. Lisa's like, shut up, you fucking bitch. So... This is where she mentions,
like, oh geez.
Ida then mentions biorhythms are fluctuating and she can't make any important decisions and those kids need to come back another time. And Lisa asks in front of Ida to Irene, can you talk to Ida? Irene,
because
like,
I don't understand anything she's saying right now.
Irene says it's in the stars and there's nothing I can do. So that's kind of that. And I feel like the older kids are just fucking with the younger kids. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also like, you know, the older kids aren't that much older, right? They're a little bit older, but they're right at that age where you like to feel superior
Yes.
over younger kids. So this all tracks for me.
For
this
me,
is all very...
for me, that age is 45. I love to feel superior to little kids. Yep. Pete and Billy are at the bowling alley. This is the same alley where Chuck's dad threw a hissy fit over not being invited to the play. And Pete says that he's got a lucky coin. It's come all the way from Ireland. So there you go. And then
I do feel like also this is like the genesis of Degrassi, like going out for fries.
For sure. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
It's been a long time since I was so excited that I was lifted out of my seat with a scene in Degrassi, but they start to play tabletop football with the coin.
They do.
I fucking loved it so much and was so excited to record today to tell you all that when I was in high school, me and Jamie and some of our friends had a tabletop football league with standings what? And stats that we kept over the course of the school year.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I love that they went with three downs too.
Oh, yes. So yes, tabletop. If you haven't played it, because again, we have the internet now and video games, so you don't need to do this, but
I don't know how to play it because the boys always played it. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, did they just take you aside in like elementary school and teach you guys how to play? Like, I just, no one ever taught me how to play it. Like, I've watched it be played a billion times, but
it's one of those things I think where you're just in the right place at the right time, or you had an older sibling or something, right, and watched them play.
If you have not played tabletop football, you bump a coin. You have, in Canada, I guess, three attempts, in the U.S., four. to push the coin, you get a chance to just kind of knock it with your fingers. And the goal is to get it so that the edge of it is hovering over the side of the table. If it falls off the table, you do not score. If it does not make it to the edge, you do not score. It has to be hovering over the side. But the points will not count unless you then flip the coin into the air and catch it. And then that's your touchdown. And then you could also do field goals if you want, which is weird.
Did you do the spinning coin field goal with the flick of the thumbs?
Yes.
Is that how you used to? Oh, yeah.
And then the best
part...
Is
that when, like, your opponent puts, like, the index finger and the pinky on the edge of the table to create, like, a goal?
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, they put the field goal up. I think sometimes they just hold it in the air, and then you have to fling the coin at your friend.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
For the extra point. Yeah. Amazing.
I will say, too, this coin that they're using, I know later on he says he got it out of a cereal box, but like I immediately recognized it as one of those souvenir coins that there was machines for that you would, you know, put in your quarter or whatever, and you could engrave whatever you wanted on the rim of the coin. Do you remember those?
I do not. That's where was it, where were you when this happened?
What magical land did you grow up?
I don't know. I think I still have a couple in my possessions or whatever. And yeah, there were these, you know, these souvenir coin things similar to like a crushed penny machine, except for instead of a crushed penny, it was like these sort of coin tokens, and you could program it to say whatever you wanted on the coin. And
well, now my imagination's running wild. So
I was probably, you know, ever 4 years old when
ever
we
got
using one, and so
ever had a coin that said fuck, 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 fuck on it?
Yeah.
Breast boobs. Tits. Dick. Dick, 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 dick.
Yes. We all, by the way, everybody, because they're also in an arcade where there's, again, that Defender game's in the background. Also, you know, when you get a high score and they'd only give you 8 characters to put your name in, you had to be really creative and putting your name. And my favorite was when my friend put in F-A-S-I-N-F-U-K. F is in fuck. So
my nice. Hat is off to this gentleman.
Yes.
So mature.
Well done.
Yeah. Casey and Lisa are talking about that they have no luck because Ida won't give them an answer because of stars. And then a server comes and gives Billy and Pete French fries. The girls then suggest that they're going to use a Ouija board to see if Billy is cursed. And then we get a shot of Pete. And
Pete the fucking weirdo.
Eating his fries. Like, and I said he eats them like Jay eats his McCain super fries. So.
But he's eating it with a fork, too.
Uh-huh. They just have it like with the fry sticking out of his mouth as he's chewing it. But yep.
Yeah, like I say, he's sucking that fry like it's a noodle.
It's like how a goat eats like a bunch of hay. You're like, here, goat.
So Billy says that he's not going to let this phony curse stop him, but when he goes to pour salt on his fries, the lid opens and the salt spills all over his fries. Womp, womp.
Bad luck, Billy. Mm-hmm.
Had he been to residence, you always tighten the salt before you start tipping it. And because that had happened to me. It happened to pretty much everybody who lived in residence. And I did that for 3, 4, 5 years maybe. I'd go to restaurants and go, oh, yeah, right on, talking to somebody, and take it and tighten just the salt cap. Uh-huh. Like, what are you doing? Well, you just got to check. Like, it was just a knee-jerk reaction.
Yep.
Because, yeah, it gets deep.
So we're back at hockey tryouts. This coach proves that he is an amazing coach because here is his coaching advice at the kids. Skate, skate, skate.
Mm-hmm.
Billy then falls down and coach says, Billy, you can do better than that. Like, Billy's the goaltender skating around in pads. And yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
So that's a hockey practice, everybody. So Ida arrives at her house and Lisa and Casey run to her and ask if her stars are good. And they want to then check on the clubhouse. Ida asks what they want it for. And Lisa says to go to after school and stuff. And then Ida's like, yeah, fuck it. Like, yeah. It's fine.
Well, and again, it's very clear that Ida is, you know, entering the next stage of life here. Like, she looks like she's about 13 or 14, like, yeah. And these are still very much little kids coming to her, so.
she's like, I'm 13. I can just smoke at the doors at school now. I don't have to have a clubhouse for it. It's totally acceptable.
Export A greens, baby.
So they run off, but then Ida has to, you know, be a little bit of a bitch and is like, you better not wreck it. So, so we have the kids at the clubhouse with the Ouija board. Pete says that, Pete's kind of like scoping out the house because he wants to do some sort of haunted house. So he's talking about blood and guts and puke, piss.
Yeah, this kind of comes out of left field a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know where this haunted house thing comes from, but that's what we're doing.
I love it. Like, story tracks. Like, it really does.
Uh-huh.
Like, there was a fascination with that kind of stuff, you know, especially with little boys, and I get it.
Can I admit something? So I was watching this episode just washing the dishes, and I didn't catch that they were going to make a haunted house at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. And when there's a haunted house at the end, I was like, what the fuck is going on? These kids are crazy, like creepy little kids. What are they doing? I didn't get that there was a preamble to it.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, yeah.
So
I got a focus bar.
The girls ask if Billy is safe from the curse, but the Ouija board says no, but Billy doesn't buy it, and he thinks it's phony. So then later we get Billy leaving Degrassi Grocery on his bike, and it's just like a comedy of errors. He gets on his bike. There's a flat tire. He's like, oh, fucking shit. He gets off his bike. It falls over. His pasta, you know, kudos to them. They could have just had a jug of milk spill out, which would have been so typical. But no, they have like a bag of pasta spill all over the ground. I was like, that's
my loose spaghetti. And he starts to clean it up like they're still going to like sidewalk pasta for dinner.
Like, that's 4 cents worth of pasta all over the ground.
Alan, was it you who dropped an entire jug of milk all over the front stoop of your apartment building one summer? Is that correct?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember that. I mean, possibly.
I know somebody did, but I can't remember if it was you personally or just somebody did. And, it like just reeked the whole summer.
Well, my wife Sarah was painting this house about a year ago and made the poor decision to. She's like, I can carry like 400 jugs of paint up to the front steps.
Oh, and, no, Sarah, don't.
Of your wedding.
Yeah, this this story ends with the pathway in front of our house is painted white because she's gonna love that I told that story. I'm like, no.
It's probably slow motion falling.
Yes.
Okay. Did either of you think it was funny at the time?
Well, I wasn't here, and then I showed up, and then she was not happy and wanted to clean it, and I mean, yeah, I thought it was happy. Just kidding, Sarah, if you're listening. Terrible.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It sounds like the kind of thing that was really not funny at the time, but like looking back on it, it's pretty funny.
Damn you, paint. Damn you to hell. you got really mad. You stepped in. You'd be a big, cool dude.
At the arena again, Billy is letting in a lot of goals now and also gets the butt end of his goalie stick caught in the net. He pulls it out and he falls down, and Squeeze is just watching from the sidelines, big shit-eating grin on his face. He's so happy. Billy and Squeeze switch spots, and Squeeze is doing a whole bunch of... Actually, he goes, "Them's the breaks, Billy, you fuckface." And then, yeah. Yeah.
Does the DX crotch shop.
You dumb fuck.
So Billy just sits at the bench looking dejected. So then later, Billy and Casey are walking down the sidewalk, and Casey says, "Well, Billy, last week you thought that you were Ken Dryden and all of the Russians put together, and I have a flood of thoughts about this." Line. Number one, I guess because like these kids are, of course, a little bit older than I would have been. But like, even in 1984, Ken Dryden had been retired for 5 years. So for a child of that age, Ken Dryden would have been an old goalie, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
You wouldn't have, there would have been barely, there's no sports center and sports channels and, you know, not a lot of VCRs. It's not like you're getting a lot of Ken Dryden footage. So the only reason you'd know Ken Dryden is like hearing, yeah, Ken Dryden was a goalie. But for some reason, they mentioned Ken Dryden, which was bizarre to me. Now, that being said, Ken Dryden may be the greatest goalie in hockey history. And I'm not joking. So Ken Dryden, and I always knew he was a great goalie, but I didn't realize this until a few years ago. Ken Dryden played 8 seasons in the NHL. That was it.
Yeah, played it all.
He won the Stanley Cup in 6 of them. He has more ties than losses on his record. So he has like 258 wins, 57 losses, and 74 ties. Which is incredible. He played for two, or in his rookie season, he came in at the end of the year, played 6 games in the regular season, went to the playoffs, and won the Stanley Cup. Then he played for 2 more years, won another Stanley Cup, and then was like, "This isn't paying me well. I'm going to go be a lawyer now." And he left for a year. The Montreal Canadiens came back and like coaxed him back into hockey with a big contract. He came back and he played 6 more seasons. He won 5 Stanley Cups during those seasons. And then when he was like 30, he's like, "I'm done with hockey." And went on to be like a lawyer, an author, a member of parliament, a cabinet minister. Like, fucking amazing.
Wasn't he the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
The president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, that's the... Fuck the Leafs. But yes, he was.
No big deal.
So yeah, Ken Dryden, well, though, crazy, amazing hockey
this
career.
This is enlightening. I did not know any of that.
Yes.
I did not know who this person was. So there you go.
Yeah. He is famous, most famous because he posed with his hockey stick. He would sit the end of the hockey stick kind of into the ice, and he would lean against the butt end of the stick, and that was his big thing. So
when anyways. You said posed with his hockey stick, I was like, you mean like a dick?
That was his pose. He'd hold it in between his legs and be like, "Yeah, woo."
Yeah. I'm
that's
sure many a goalie has done that in their life.
Where my mind went, and yeah. I'm like, "That's why he's famous."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If he would win games, he would jack off his like dick hockey stick and be like, "Woo!"
At the other team's bench.
That's
yeah.
What you meant,
yeah. It was
real.
A celebration. So
maybe you can get that bobblehead at Industrial Love.
Yes. Yes. So Billy says, by the way, also though, again, as good as Ken Dryden is, when they say Ken Dryden and all the Russians put together, now I could understand if they want to make Casey not know what she's talking about with hockey, but I feel like they kind of did and the writers don't know anything about hockey. So anyways, Billy says he's not getting any breaks. Casey says, well, you should respond to the chain letter, but Billy still isn't having it. And then he, in the most unbelievable scene in this episode, he walks up to his bike and starts pumping the tire. And I was like, did you leave that unlocked bike sitting against that post?
Hey.
And it went unstolen?
Toronto 1984, buddy.
Yeah.
If there was a thief at Degrassi, it would be reported in the newspaper.
Yes. Yes, it would be. By the way, Toronto in 1984, you can leave the fucking bike sitting there for a day and no one will steal it, even if it's unlocked. Toronto 2024, the cops just came out this week, and a piece of advice they gave to people was keep your car keys close to your front door. That way, when the thieves with guns come into your house, there won't be a confrontation if they want to steal your car.
So that was from Toronto?
Yes, that was from Toronto.
Oh, I thought that was from the US somewhere.
No, that was Toronto. So, yeah. Wow. Lovely. Mm-hmm.
Just do a Ken Dryden and pretend it's your dick.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, gross, I can't touch it. Those keys are now his dick. They're all grossed out. They're all like...
one of my daughter's friends who she skates with, they were at their friend's house the other day, and the dad had gone out to get them some food, drove home, gave the girls the food, went back out to the car to get something else. Car was already stolen that amount of time. And this is in downtown Oakville.
Ah, lovely. 2024, everybody. So Billy doesn't have any of those kinds of problems. But while he's pumping his tires, Dickhead Squeeze walks out of Degrassi Grocery and is like, hey, Billy, I just won $5 from a bag of chips. Eat shit. And he walks away.
Looking hot too. He's got his denim jacket, Rolling Stone t-shirt.
Yeah.
Canadian tuxedo.
Yep.
Yep. Squeeze actually says, when you're hot, you're hot. So Billy is at his typewriter. So not only like when you got a chain letter in email, all you had to do was write 5 email addresses and click send. But yeah. In 1984, if you want to send 5 letters, I mean, you could handwrite them, but Billy is at his typewriter and he's going to type out 5 fucking letters on that typewriter, which is amazing. We then, as he's typing, zoom in on a poster of,
yes, we do,
Winnipeg Jets goaltender Doug Sotart, who played 2 seasons for the Winnipeg Jets, and considering how shit a team the Jets were for a lot of the 80s, actually had a decent win-loss record. I would argue that Jets fans my age, when you talk about famous Jets goalies, Doug Sotart would not register whatsoever with any of them.
And he's advertising Cooper's latest goalie stick, which is the lightest, most consistent stick. And I was saying to myself, I went to go play some hockey. A bunch of us got together and played some like hockey on a tennis court not that long ago. And I had this old wooden stick I had in the garage. I picked that thing up and it felt like I was picking up a full-size tree. I can only imagine what the lightest stick would have felt like for a goalie in 1984.
And the ad said, jack this one off like Ken Dryden.
Just like, it's like my hero.
Bust a nut.
Yeah.
Like KD.
Can we just rewind for a sec? He said he found $5 in a bag of chips. Where he won,
yes.
Dirty won old Bill.
In a bag of chips.
He won it. He won, like, it. He won it.
Okay. Yeah. So this bag of chips, it's just like you open it up and there's a sweepstakes inside the bag of chips where the shopkeep gives you $5.
I guess so.
Regardless of
that, or wrestler stickers
of the shopkeep. I also, like, that made me think, Alan, do you remember, and maybe the rest of you had, I don't think you had access to Old Dutch chips.
Oh,
in the late 80s, early 90s. But do you remember the Zubaz contest, Alan?
I do not. Please tell me.
Well, in Old Dutch chips, and they had like these playing pieces in every bag of chips, and the big prize was if you got both both parts, both up top and the bottom of a Zubaz pant. He won the Zubaz
really?
Pant.
Like
yes. For real.
Oh, what a great gift. That would have gone over huge.
You don't remember that? Okay, yeah. You could win, like, Zubaz clothing, and you had to, like, basically it was one of those, you know, it was kind of like, you know, McDonald's Monopoly, where you have to find both pieces to put them together. But if you could find, like, both pieces, then you could win Zubaz pants, if anyone remembers Zubaz pants.
Now, maybe this is blasphemy to you guys, but when my kids get Old Dutch chips for Halloween, and those chips suck.
No, they're great.
They're
fuck
fantastic.
You.
Get the fuck out. Get off the podcast,
the
piece
of
shit.
It must be a regional
guy.
Thing.
Most offensive thing I've ever heard. You were eating Humpty Dumpty bullshit up your ass chips. When we were that age.
We had Hostess shit. That had wrestler stickers in, so
all right.
Take that.
I'm trying to buy it. So.
there also was, so it wasn't like a chip contest, but there was a Pick-A-Pop by my place. Is there a Pick-A-Pop out in Toronto? Does anyone know what that is? It's like off-brand sodas, but you would go to the store, get these sodas, and then you could return the bottle. So it was just like, you know, their own branded soda. But the guy that had the Pick-A-Pop store had a gumball machine. And if you got gumballs, like most of the gumballs were just your fucking gum that you wanted. But sometimes if you got a gumball out of a certain color, you'd get a prize. And so I just wanted gum. I put a quarter in the machine, pulled out a gumball. It was the color of free video game. And they had video games in the store. So I brought it over to the guy and he was like, oh, you won. And he took the gumball from me and gave me a quarter.
I taught like, summer what? School. I taught summer school one year, and I had a very much the type of kids that you would expect to be at summer school. They were there for the reason they needed to be there, because they had got less than 40% in their classes. So they were stuck there for a whole month rather than a 2-week refresher.
So are you saying they're dumb or are you saying they're bad?
I do not know. What I can say on a sidebar is one kid that was in my class got caught for stealing bikes from the school, and the kid that pointed him out to the police was also in my class.
Oh.
They didn't even remove the kid who stole the bikes from my class, and he just stared daggers into the other kid for the rest of it. So probably yes to both of your questions, I imagine. So anyway, these kids were late, like every single day coming back from lunch, and I don't know why they kept being allowed to stay. Because it used to be, whereas if you were like late twice, you were just kicked out of summer school. There's no messing around. These kids were late all the time. One day they were like 20 minutes late, and I was getting so annoyed. And they came in, they're like, Mr. Fallhoffer, we're so sorry, but guess what? We were at the Dairy Queen, and we got a gumball, and we got the gold-colored gumball, and we won an ice cream cake. So they had brought this full-size Dairy Queen ice cream cake the entire way back. It was melting. And then I had to try and find a knife so these kids could eat this ice cream cake, because I felt bad that they had won this ice cream cake and it was melting.
You were like, you may have this ice cream cake if I get half of it.
So that was kind of how it was. They bribed me with ice cream.
That's cake. The deal.
I have to keep this in evidence.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
You're like, let's do some division, kids.
Yeah, let's do some
one
fraction.
Whole ice cream cake minus half of it for Mr. Teacher equals fuck you. So, so... We, Billy won $5 from a bag of chips, by the way. Yes. So the kite in the park is now stuck in a tree, and Pete and Lisa are there, and they flip a coin to see who gets it. And Pete wins the toss because, you know, lucky coin. So Lisa has to go up and get this kite. And I'm like, that kid's going to die. Like, just going up that tree. Yeah. Billy, in the meantime, leaves his place. He has gone to the trouble of typing up the chain letters, putting them in envelopes, finding stamps, putting addresses on them. He's all set to go. The only thing he has to do now is put them in the mailbox. But he sees that Lisa is now stuck in the tree, and she calls out to him for help. So he runs over, drops the letters, gets in that tree, and fucking gets her down. He gets the tree. He goes up to get the kite himself. And Casey is worried because he's cursed, but Pete says, Billy's the best tree climber around, so.
And she's like, he's going to die.
Yep, nope, that's Billy's reputation. Best tree climber. So I guess this is supposed to be a tense moment. Like, they actually, like, add some tension. Like, oh, is Billy going to fall and break his neck? But he successfully retrieves the kite and comes down. And Pete says his lucky coin worked, but Billy says he did it himself. They talk about luck, blah, 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 blah. But Billy feels like he's a lucky guy. And so those chain letters that he did all the work in and all he had to do is drop in the mailbox, he just tears them up. And I assume he just threw the garbage down in the park. Because
yeah, 100%. Correct. Because it's the 80s.
Yeah.
So, somebody else's job.
Yeah. So Billy runs off and then Pete says to his friends, coin's bullshit. So.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this jabron.
Yeah. But Pete.
Dumbo's magic feather.
Yes. Pete is walking in a way that no one walks, constantly flipping the coin as he's walking. I remember, like, friends of mine when I was in, like, high school would sometimes, like, as a joke be like, watch this. And they would just lean against the wall and flip a coin while people walked by.
I love this.
Yeah.
But that's my jam right there. I'd be like, yes, do it.
But in real life, no one does that. So
just in the magical world of Winnipeg.
Yes.
Check it out. Did he do like that? Check him out. Lean, flip the coin.
Yes, he was leaning and flipping the coin. Yeah, it's great.
I'm marking out about that. That's fantastic.
So we then get footage from the last tryout, and now all of a sudden, Billy is Grant Fuhr. He's amazing. Super athletic. Grant Fuhr, by the way, best glove save in hockey history. So if you've ever seen, just go to YouTube and type in Grant Fuhr glove saves.
He would lean into those things?
Even in the fucking, he came back, he you know, he's retired in like, you know, the mid-90s. And like 10 years later, they had the Winter Classic in Edmonton.
Yeah,
so he came out as the old timer and he fucking did a glove save in that game too.
Sure
it was amazing. Yeah. So practice ends and the coach says, the team list is going to be posted on the dressing room door. So kids are now changing in the locker room. Chuck posts the list and tells everybody that it's up. And all the kids go out of the room except for Billy and Squeeze, who are just looking at each other across the room. Like, all right. Yeah. Billy then wishes Squeeze good luck. Squeeze just walks out of the room without saying anything back. He's not even like, thank you, good luck to you, or even like, I don't need luck. He says nothing. He just walks out
or
of the room.
Fuck you.
Yes. But then Squeeze comes back into the room and he says to Billy, I made it. It says so right here. I'm going to be your backup. So.
He took that rather well.
Yeah. But they do it again. They add the tension like, oh, Squeeze made the team, so clearly Billy didn't. And then he's like, I'm going to be your backup. And again, it's like, so were these kids competing for two jobs all along? And that was the tension? Or did they both actually believe they'd be the only goalie?
I don't know. Billy goes, wait a minute, there was a backup?
Yeah. Like, what? So Billy actually says, Yahoo! With the same acting chops as Jason Cox will have in Degrassi Junior High.
Oh,
yeah. How many times in your life have you been excited?
He was now the first goalie.
Yeah.
Well, and said, Yahoo.
Like, has anybody, even when you were a little kid, did you ever actually say the word Yahoo?
Absolutely not.
It's like, is this a comic book? It's like, come on.
I love it.
Like, is he going to later be like, Hurumph?
He also flips the coin several times.
Yes, yes, he does. But Squeeze can't let it go. He's like, if anything happens to you, I'm going to be in there. And Billy's like, nothing's going to happen to me, you fucking prick. Fuck off. Carry my bags. Yes, as he keeps flipping the coin.
And then Squeeze went home and killed himself. Never see him again.
Wow.
In Billy's first play, he fell on ice and got the skate across the neck.
Oh.
Like that goalie who did.
Clint Malarchuk, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a terrible. That's so stuck in my head.
Oh, it's
that
the worst
video
thing.
Video clip of him. Oh, it's so. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. What was his name again?
Clint Malarchuk.
Clint Malarchuk.
Gets a hockey player skate, like falls, slides into the net, but slides and like
slices
his neck
in the throat. Yeah.
Freak accident.
And he's like, it's horror. Like, it's the worst thing. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's so bad.
It's a little bit of a this is a little bit of a deep cut, but
I mean, luckily he went.
Oh, come on, pun.
Oh, so yeah, nice. Yeah, more ways than one. The a supply teacher that used to teach in our area was actually, or is actually, Rick Vive's wife. So Rick Vive played in the NHL, played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but also played for Buffalo, who Clint Malarchuk also played with. So the night that that happened, she is sitting in the corner of the rink where that happens. And she will tell the story. She's like, she thought he was dead. Like, she's like, there is no way that he was going to survive this. She couldn't believe it. The blood was everywhere.
Oh, it's fucked up. Like, horror, horror movie.
But he survived. Like, perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he ended up keeping on playing, but he had, like, OCD, I believe.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't
so,
know.
I mean, fucked me up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have now the final scene, and again, to Ted's surprise, apparently, the kids have turned the clubhouse into a haunted house.
So at this moment, like, I was like, what? There's this big, like, soupy stew, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, these kids have lost their minds. Voices? Like, these kids are, they worship the devil. What's going on here? This was a normal episode until now. Like, what are they doing? There's masks. Pete got a fucking mop on his head. Like, what? And Billy's just sitting there like, yeah, man, stir this old gross soup
it looks
unedible
like
thing. Like,
we have the compost like fucking jug in our house, like the tin. And it looks like they just took the food out of that and they're like stirring it in the fucking haunted house. Disgusting.
And kids are lining up, and I'm like, what did I miss? What,
did I skip
what
to
is
the
with
episode?
The show? What is going on? Like, I don't just don't. Why don't? What is happening?
This
is a crazy show.
So, we get that scene. They're charging 25 cents to kids to see this place.
Ooh.
Billy is bragging as they stir this disgusting bowl of food. And you know, by the way, because Billy plays organized hockey, they're going to fucking make, like, the rookies eat that food. They're going to, like, just totally disgusting fucking hockey pranks that are just so gross.
It's like, it's spaghetti, right? It's like that whole, like, oh, and it's brains or whatever, and it's like cold spaghetti, right? Like, that's what that is, correct?
Probably. Okay. It's gross.
I think you hear someone say at the end of the episode, oh, it's
something
just
about
spaghetti.
Yeah, something about spaghetti. Yeah.
Well, it's real life grossness because kids are stirring it and breathing over it. Like, I'm like, oh, that's really literally so gross. It's disgusting. They're not even wearing hairnets or they got a fucking mop on his head. Like, whoa, all that like shake coming out of that mop is like getting into
like
the stuff.
Tuesday in the 80s.
Wiping their little asses and like not washing their hands and putting it in that food.
Oh my God, I'm going to barf. Like, it's really wicked. Oh, wicked bad.
So Billy wants to return the coin to Pete, but Pete's like, that coin was bullshit. It's fine. Keep it. admits it's from a cereal box. And then Pete says, and I believe this was also stated at the start of the episode, you make your own luck. And I guess that's the lesson. I don't know. But we got the credits rolling. And again, I like it. Kids having a good time at the clubhouse. Though again, I was enjoying it. Ted, confused. So
did anyone see the size of Moose coming in? Moose is huge.
That's why his name is Moose.
That's why
violently confused.
Yeah,
disturbingly so. Ugh.
Yeah. So there you go, everybody. That is Billy Breaks the Chain. I guess the lesson is you make your own luck and superstition's bullshit. I don't really know.
The lesson is that it's your confidence that makes you succeed. It's Dumbo's magic feather. That's the lesson.
Yeah, those are all lies too, though, right? Like, you can be I can be very confident that I'm going to be a goalie as well, and then not only am I going to let in all the goals, I'm going to injure myself, and I probably won't be able to walk for a month. But hey,
well,
and
it sounded like
confident.
Sarah was pretty confident she could carry all that pain.
Yeah, confidence, everybody. It's all you need.
I will say that I really appreciate, I think sometimes these episodes sort of miss the mark, but I really do appreciate Billy's morality in this episode. Like, the thing is, you got a chain letter that is causing Billy a lot of stress and making him feel a certain way. It's making him feel bad. It's making him, you know, feel cursed and all that stuff. And he has a real moral dilemma that he does not want to pass that on to other people. You know, like, because if you get a chain letter, it's like, well, I'll just copy it down and then send it to other people. Right? Like, what's the big deal? But he actually has an actual moral quandary that he does not want to pass this on to other people. And I appreciate that.
Oh, Billy, a good guy. And we grow up to be an even better guy. So it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, loves Billy. It. You broke the chain. Fleetwood Mac style.
And, and if you don't love me now,
love me now.
You'll never love me again.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I can still hear you say it.
Billy, never break the motherfucking chain.
Holiday row.
Break down.
Holiday row. That's the best song written by a Fleetwood Mac
identical
member.
Identical to the original recording.
Break it down. So it turns into Can't Touch This.
That's great.
I don't even know what's happening right now. Uh-huh. I feel like Ted watching The Haunted House.
Everyone's talking sports. I got to jump in somewhere. It's like...
So next episode, we're going to get the return of one Cookie for one last episode. She's been gone for like 8 episodes. She's going to come back for one more episode, and that will be that. So,
and you get a hell of a special guest star in this episode.
Do we? I should look over the... I'm not going to spoil it.
No spoilers, but yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. So it's called Catherine Finds Her Balance. So I guess she's not Cookie anymore. The premise... Cookie's parents are separated and can't be in the same room without finding something to argue about. So when a gymnastics meet comes up, she has to decide which one to invite. So I love it because, like, the last episode, she'll, like, not invite her mom, and she'll be like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not wanted, Cookie. Can't wait.
Your boy on the screen goes, oh, it's callback. Oh, you see that? Uh-huh. Sarah, did you hear that? Same thing.
Yes, so very, very excited about that one. So check us out in a week's time. And in the meantime, tell us about your favorite hockey goaltenders from the 70s. Talk about your how much did you puke when Clint Mularchuk sliced his neck? Any hijinks with hockey, tell us about that. Good luck, bad luck. Were you as surprised as Ted was when those kids were in that fucking haunted house? Those crazy psychos. We'd love to know. Narbos and Broomheads at gmail.com or find us on Instagram, Narbos and Broomheads Podcast. On Twitter, Narbos and Broomheads is our handle, and we are on Facebook. We have a lovely group there with no porn now. It's like we could have the sign up. It's like 60 days porn free on the Narbos and Broomheads Facebook page. I'm Alan Slip with Five Eyes, or Slip is where you can find me. Where can we find the guy from Oakville, the one athlete in this group?
You can find me at FollyT on Instagram. So I was watching this with Owen. He was passively kind of watching while he was playing a video game. And all of a sudden he just looked up and he goes, that goaltending is terrible. And looked back down at his game. So that was the Owen break for the episode this week.
Not wrong.
No, not wrong. And this episode, incredible. Loved it from start to finish. Even the nonsensical haunted house stuff at the end. Loved it. Saskatchewan, what are you saying?
I loved it too. You can find me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Newfoundland. Understand. Newfoundland.
Don't get nervous when you say it. Just Newfoundland.
Because I said it wrong last time and I realized too late. And it's too late for me to correct myself.
No, you're fine. Now if you get nervous about it, you just say Newfoundland. Just loosen up the face.
I just say all the way out east. Ted, all as east as you can go, the easternmost place in the country, that's where we go. Yeah.
Canada's final addition to provinces in 1949. Ooh. Under Joseph R. Smallwood, the first premier of Newfoundland. And Teddy's going to shoot the goal, Ron Hextall style, down the net, down the ice, into an empty net. And Ron Hextall scores a goal for the Philadelphia Flyers. I've been your special boy, Ted. You can follow me on the Instagram machine and follow Linda, Sugar Tea Cat. You know where we are. Come on over.
And there you have it, everybody. So come back next week for more. And until then, we'll see you when we see you. Peace.
Bye.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Well, I said I was going to get my love. I was meant to do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kellen. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.